You're listening to Pastor Stephen G. Lightfoot's podcast, Sermons and Homilies by the Reverend Stephen G. Lightfoot. Pastor Stephen is an ordained elder in the Global Methodist Church and serves as senior pastor to First Methodist Church Splendora and Shepherd Methodist Church in Southeast Texas. Here is today's episode. So we continue in 2 Timothy this week, this time chapter 4, beginning at verse 6. Paul has reached a point in his ministry where it's time for him to pass the mantle. And so that's the focus of this part of his second letter to Timothy. Hear what he says. As for me, I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. From now on, there is reserved for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. At my first defense, no one came to my support, but all deserted me. May it not be counted against them. But the Lord stood by me and gave me strength, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and save me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. As I said, Paul's reached the end of his ministry, as people do when they reach the finish line. He now reflects back on the race. He gives his final testimony of his journey, and he offers Timothy, his protege, and us, by extension, some encouraging words and advice, because it's now our turn to take up the mantle and to carry on the mission and the ministry of the church. Paul has finished his race. It is now our race to run. He says, "You take over. I am about to die. My life is an offering on God's altar. This is the only race worth running," Paul tells us. I've run hard right to the very finish. I have believed all the way. All that's left now is the cheering, the applause of the angels and God. Depend on it. God is an honest judge. He'll do right not only by me, but by everyone else who is eager for his coming. And then he hearkens back to a reflection on the preliminary hearing at his most recent incarceration in Rome. He says, at my preliminary hearing, at the investigative hearing, no one stood with me or by me. They all ran like scared rabbits. But it doesn't matter, Paul says, because my master Jesus stood by me and helped me spread the message of the gospel loud and clear to those who had never heard it. I was snatched from the jaws of the lion. See, his offense could have been punishable by death, the offense of spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ, of proclaiming a king other than Caesar, of ruffling the feathers of the high priests and the Pharisees and the scribes. He says, God's looking after me. He's keeping me safe in the kingdom of heaven. All praise to him. Praise forever. That's what he said in his letter to Timothy. if we break this down just a little bit, it becomes more practical to us, I think. Because in this narrative, Paul's been through the initial part of his trial, that preliminary investigation into his crime of preaching the gospel. And ironically, the trial gave him the very public opportunity to preach the gospel one final time, as everybody was interested in the trial. It's one of those trials that all the people of Rome were tuned into. If they had had live television and court TV, everybody would have tuned in. And he was giving his testimony in Rome, the capital of the Gentile world, and it gave him the opportunity to preach the gospel to the Gentiles in such a way that they would carry that message out from the capital like dropping a stone into a pond and the ripples would go outward. And as he writes this letter to Timothy, he's certain that the next part of his trial will end in his conviction and execution. And his thoughts turn to passing the baton to Timothy and to the church. He's done his part. Now it's our turn. Now, as I read the passage, I have some questions. Some questions come to mind. Am I ready to take the baton and run with it? You ever seen a relay race? You know, it takes lots of practice to get that timing down. You don't just go out and run a relay race. You have to train for it. You have to be prepared for it. Am I willing to run this race? You also have to be up for it. You have to be willing. There's pain in the preparation. Am I trained up? Am I equipped for the mission? Have I put in the work necessary to run a good race? Have I put in the work necessary to fight a good fight? Have I put in the work enabling me to keep the faith, no matter what the world, the enemy, the competition, the evil one, no matter what they throw at me? Have I put in the work necessary to keep the faith? These are legitimate questions, and they express legitimate concerns for every Christian race runner. Now, you might be thinking, I don't run even if somebody's chasing me. This race is so important for the Christian. Every Christian combatant is in a fight for truth. You are a soldier fighting a spiritual battle in the world. The good news is that this church that you and I are a part of is a conquering church. We're not bystanders in the war for the souls of people. We're soldiers. We're competitors. We are ministers of the faith, given the charge of going and doing, not sitting and watching. Turn to somebody and say, I'm a goer. Turn to somebody else and say, and I'm a doer. A goer and a doer, not a sitter and a watcher. See, in Paul's letter to the Corinthians, he gives us a picture of the competitive nature of our fight for the faith. And I realize I'm jumping from Timothy to Corinthians, but all of Paul's letters have a central theme, and that is that we are to be a church in motion in the world. He says in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24 through 27, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? That's true. We're all competing. The world is competing for the attention of all the lost souls. And the church is competing for the attention of all the lost souls. Everybody's running the race, but only one gets the prize. Run in such a way, Paul says, that you may win. What's the point of running a race if you're not in it to win it? Run in such a way that you may win. Everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. They then do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we do it to receive an imperishable prize. See, back in the old days, in the old games, in Paul's time, you ran for a laurel wreath crown to put upon your head. That's a lot of work for a circle of leaves. But it was the symbol of accomplishment, that laurel wreath. And everyone competed to receive that crown. Paul says, they put in all that work for a crown of leaves. We put in all the work for a crown that is imperishable. Therefore, he says, I run in such a way as not without aim. I box in such a way as not beating the air, but I discipline my body and make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified. Short version, practice what you preach. Don't go out there spouting the gospel of Jesus Christ and then living like a heathen. You become suspect to a world that's looking on when you preach the gospel and then act the fool, as they say. What's the saying? All hat and no cattle, right? People see inauthenticity a mile away. And so you have to live the gospel that you preach. So Paul's letter, he speaks to the church at Corinth, and he's using the example of something that's familiar to them, the games, the Isthmian games. It would have been celebrated in that region in that day, and racers running for the crown of laurel would have been held in high regard by the people. Yes, they had their own sports stars back then. So Paul uses the metaphor in his teaching. He says, we too are competing for a crown, but it's a different kind of crown. The crown to which Paul is alluding is a much more glorious prize. It's an incorruptible prize. It's a heavenly crown. And the point of his passage is that kingdom work is not a spectator sport. We're all called to it. We should enter into our calling with a winning mindset. We should strive daily to be first in this glorious contest, running persistently in the direction of the cross and taking as many people with us in the race as possible. Sitting on the sidelines, complacent, watching, is not an option for the Christian. We're called to get in the game. We should be continuously praying to God the Father, telling Him, as we sang just a few minutes ago, here I am, Lord, send me. Put me in the game, coach. Anybody play sports when you were in school? Anybody play Little League? And you're so excited to go, and there are always more kids than there were spots. Put me in the game, coach. I want to play, coach. Put me in the game. Right? And the coach would say, winners always want to get in the game. And then he'd go pick somebody else that could run faster and throw harder. But at least he acknowledged that you wanted to be in the game, right? Here I am, coach, send me. Races are run, Paul says, on a set course. Deviation from the course comes with penalty. It might even lead to your disqualification. Paul says we should not run without aim. We should run with intention and direction, but not our direction, God's direction. We should follow the leading of the Holy Spirit so that we do not run the race in vain. And if we are obediently fulfilling our mission to know Christ and to make Christ known in the world, then we should remain steadfast and faithful in the maintenance of this vessel which God uses, our mind, our body, our soul, so that after we have engaged with and made disciples, we don't fall prey to our own sinful nature and become a stumbling block or a bad example, or even worse, a hypocrite to those that we have discipled. Hebrews 12, verse 1, the author of Hebrews says, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. See, as Christians, we have a cloud of witnesses, saints that have gone before, but we also have a cloud of witnesses here in the world, and they're watching us. Believers or not, they are holding us to a higher standard. The thing is, unlike the games, there can be many crowns awarded, not just the one. And so we're called not only to be runners, but we're called to be coaches and trainers, working tirelessly to share the gospel in order that Jesus Christ may bring as many across that heavenly finish line as possible. And more than anything, if you have been coming to Bible study on Wednesday nights when we started this end times session, more than anything, when you look at the end times, the end of the age, the end of the church age, we need to understand that we are a victorious church. Defeat and retreat were never, will never be an option for us. As Jesus says, we are the church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against us. Retreat means a soul lost. Defeat means all souls are lost. You see how that's not an option? Those are not acceptable losses for the Christian. Run the race with endurance. Tell that next person about Jesus. Don't let it go unsaid. This Bible study that I mentioned concerning the end times, we're learning that the church has been deceived for too long, and our attention has been misdirected as we look to the future for signs and for meaning, for things, for prophecies that have already been fulfilled. That's a distraction that we don't have time for. We need to focus on the things that are legitimately, biblically still coming. Things like the main thing, which is that Jesus' return is on the horizon. And we need to all be ready. We need to get everyone ready for the main event and stop wasting time looking for things that are already behind us as the church. Things like the rebuilding of a temple that has been forever dismantled and plowed under. That's not a sign we need to be looking for. Things like somebody called Antichrist, who will someday stand in the temple, a temple which will never be rebuilt. There is no Antichrist with a big A on his t-shirt. The Antichrist has come. His name is Satan. We know who he is. We need not look for him any longer. The end times are about a church that is in growth, a church that is victorious, has been victorious ever since the church was launched that day in the upper room as the Holy Spirit set about with tongues of fire upon those that were in the upper room. Do you know 3,000 plus people were added to the church that day? And it grew from there, and it's been on the rise ever since. Don't let these empty chairs deceive you. Because in other places of the world where the need for a deep relationship with Jesus is an everyday thing in your face, where certain death is the order of the day for those who call out the name of Jesus. And yet, in those places, the church is growing like gangbusters. Don't let these empty chairs deceive you. The church is victorious. The end times are going to be a steady progression of victory for the church until Jesus comes back. We don't need to bulldoze any mosques on top of mountains in Israel to make that happen. It's just not a thing. So if you're not fully grasping what I'm saying to you here, then come to Bible study. Discover what a true biblical perspective on the end times looks like. I think you'll be enlightened, and even more importantly, I think you will be relieved and at peace with what you learn about the victory that we truly have in Jesus. It is finished, he said from the cross. He meant all of it is done. All we have to do is continue to bring people into the family of God. I have been truly encouraged by the Bible's revolution of God's plan for us. Understanding how his plan has unfolded, is unfolding, and will unfold brings peace, brings encouragement for us to run the race with endurance, to fight that good fight, to keep the faith. Everybody wants to be on the winning team. Everybody wants to be on the conquering army. And you are. In fact, Paul tells us in Romans, you are more than conquerors. Do you feel like a conqueror this morning? no matter what's going on, no matter what the world's throwing at you, you are a victorious competitor. You are a conquering soldier because you serve the one true God. You serve Jesus Christ as Lord. I hope that gives you some encouragement this morning. I know the world can throw a lot at us, but all we have to do is turn to God's word and see that the victory is already won. When you woke up this morning, did you have something heavy on your heart? Something heavy on your mind? It happens. But that's just one small battle in a much bigger war, a war that you are winning as the church. Don't let the minor setbacks distract you from the ultimate prize, which is victory in Jesus. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you for listening to today's podcast. Come back again next week for a new message. And until then, may God bless you and keep you.